Out here, if you're doing nothing, you're doing everything right. Though on a cruise with Norwegian, even if you're doing nothing, you're still basking in the warm sun, enjoying the peaceful ocean waves, you're breathing. Don't forget about breathing. Definitely need to be breathing. So you get to do nothing, or everything, but you still need to be breathing. It's like really important.
Experience the difference with cruises to Alaska, the Caribbean, and Europe. Norwegian Cruise Line. It's different out here. Visit ncl.com, call your travel advisor, or 1-888-NCL-CRUISE. Norwegian Cruise Line ships registry the Bahamas and USA.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on two purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
Hello, everybody. Good morning. Welcome to the United Stands. I'm Mark Goldbridge, and this is your latest Manchester United news and transfer news as the mess and chaos continues. More spin, more blame, but more and more obvious pointing of fingers at the genuine issue at Manchester United, which is quite clearly the ownership. We've got some exclusive news coming out for you as well from our source. Remember, it was our source who told you a month ago that Darren Fletcher would be the replacement for Amrin. Got called an idiot for that, so let's see if we get called an idiot for what I'm about to tell you. But also, we've got an Ornstein bomber about what's going to happen with transfers in January. Spoiler alert, nothing. We've also got lots of updates coming in on Sir Jim Radcliffe's involvement in this, Jason Wilcock's involvement in this. And apparently we've got a guy called Travis Binion who is going to be coaching with Darren Fletcher, who, surprise, surprise, because I predicted this yesterday, is already doing better coaching than Amrin did in 6 months. I mean, do they think we're stupid? I mean, you know what's coming next? We can't believe how fit we are under Darren Fletcher compared to Amrin. It's the same old stuff all the time. And I wouldn't be surprised if we did give Solskjaer the job. It really wouldn't be surprising at all if we did give Solskjaer the job, because the club is an absolute joke. But what we can tell you exclusively, just to start off the show, because we've got so much to go through. And I do just want to say this again. I think it's really important. Shame on you to every media outlet, every journalist and every ex-player that is swallowing the Glazers' shit. I mean, you literally have got your mouth open as they bend down on top of you and push one out. You are an absolute disgrace to this football club as well. You are not responsible, but you are a disgrace. I don't know whether they pay you. I don't know why you're beholden to them. But spewing out their crap to keep them longer in our football club, you are part of the problem. You're not Man United fans. You're part of the problem. Spewing out nonsense about Amrin to defend Ineos and the Glazers and Wilcox, so they might give you a little bit of an interview on the tour. You're an absolute joke. Shame on you. You're not United fans. You're an absolute joke. He was sacked because he called out the board. Why are you doing their dirty work for them? I don't understand that one at all. But they might have their little sources or information from the club, but so do we. So the general consensus from the playing squad is sort of 50-50. There's a lot of players who are really not happy about Amrin being removed. They didn't expect it. I think you can guess some of those players who they are. There are some players that are happy about it. And I've got to say, this is a news show. I don't know the verification of this, but there are a lot of United aggregators on social media posting proof that Kobbie Mainoo like to post basically ridiculing Amrin getting sacked. Now, you've always got to be very, very careful about this sort of stuff, because I basically want to see Mainoo in a Man United shirt given the opportunity. But I'll also put my hands up and say two things. One, I'd love to know why Amrin treated Mainoo like he did, because to me, it's always been baffling. I don't know. I would love to know what the problem with Mainoo was, because I always wanted to see him playing games. Secondly, he needs to grow up. Like, message to Mainoo, grow up, stop messing around on social media. Have you not seen what happened with Garnacho? Have you not seen what happened with Rashford? These are not people that United fan base ended up liking because of how they behaved on social media. So why are you doing it? Why, you know, the T-shirt thing from your brother should have been, that's it. I'm not getting involved in anything like that. I'm just going to focus on my career. You shouldn't be going around liking Instagram posts of managers getting sacked or people wearing a T-shirt. It's not going to do you any favours, mate. So look, I think you're a good player. I want to see you playing for Man United. but I want to see somebody with the right mentality. I want to see the likes of Nicky Butt and Roy Keane and Michael Carrick in our midfield. I don't want to see a Garnacho in the midfield. So grow up, focus on your football and stop fucking about on social media. It's idiotic because the people's posts that you're liking are screenshotting it and sending it out and then everybody sees it. So grow up and focus on your football. He is only 20. I want to see him given an opportunity, but that sort of stuff needs to stop, doesn't it? Anyway, our exclusive is, wait for it, drum roll please, the players have been consulted on who they want the next manager to be. Now, that's the shit show we've got at Manchester United. So basically, Berarda and Wilcox and Sir Jim have consulted players at Carrington about what they think we should do next and who they want. Yeah, the last time we sacked a Portuguese manager, we did exactly the same thing. We let player power get involved. So, and this is from the same source who told me about Fletcher. They also said that, and to be honest, I'll read you what The Athletic have put out. So this is what The Athletic are saying. So they're basically saying that Laurie Whitwell says, the mood in training yesterday is said to have been excellent, with Darren Fletcher and Travis Binnen taking charge. Omar Berarda and Wilcox called a meeting with... I hadn't read that bit. That's very interesting because I've just said that about Berarda and Wilcox being at Carrington yesterday. Omar Berarda and Wilcox called a meeting with the players after sacking Amrim, and Wilcox told those listening that the last 2 days had really shocked him. He insisted the club had given Amrim what he wanted, but he had made his feelings clear on an exit. We don't understand where the last 48 hours have come from, he told the squad. Wilcox said Amrim changed and United had to act. Oh my God, they couldn't lie straight in bed, couldn't they? I hadn't read that second bit. So look, the mood in training yesterday wasn't excellent at all. There was a number of players very concerned about the way the season was going to go and where the direction of the club was going to go. They certainly didn't turn up with big smiles on their face, excited. The season hasn't been very good. The manager has just been sacked. And a lot of these players are wanting European football next season. So they weren't jumping around in the snow yesterday. That's a load of bollocks. So, you know, I don't know where Whitwell's getting his stuff or The Athletic, but let's be honest, they have a very tight relationship with the club, don't they? So they're probably feeding bollocks. That's not the case. And if Laurie wants to chat about it, I'm more than happy to do that. I don't know who his source is, but I know who mine is. There wasn't general excellent excitement yesterday morning. Some players were, and we can guess who they were, but some players weren't happy about what was going on and aren't happy with the way the leadership's going. Bruno. But look, we know Bruno's not very happy with the ownership anyway. And he's the captain of the club and he liked Amrim. But the reality is they were consulted about what they think should happen next. I don't know whether that's why Solskjaer's name's now being mentioned. I don't know what players said in relation to what they think should happen next, but they were definitely consulted. And I didn't know about the Wilcox and Berarda thing until I read that there. So everything sort of fits in there, doesn't it? So do you think Onana could come back? I mean, if we end up with Onana back, the Amrim outers deserve it. That's all I would say. But look, that in itself is concerning to me. These players have sacked multiple managers. They should have no say at all. But it doesn't surprise me when you read what David Ornstein has said about transfers and how Sir Jim Radcliffe, I don't want to mix up who said what, but I think David Ornstein said something. I've got the notes here. So David Ornstein said that, Sir Jim Radcliffe wanted Amrim to switch from his preferred back three to a back four. Sir Jim Radcliffe. Sir Jim Radcliffe wanted us to go to a back four from a back three, despite appointing a manager that plays a back three, as did Jason Wilcox. I mean, it's just chaotic. Everything you read is just absolutely chaotic. Amrim had a falling out with Favel over the transfer policy, United's director of recruitment. We've got a lot to go through, but it surprises me that there's any level of optimism. I mean, look, thank you everybody who watched my video in the garden this morning. It was a cry for help. I have had a few private messages saying, are you okay mentally? I'm absolutely fine. But that video I did in the garden this morning, it's only 10 minutes. Check it out after this. is genuinely a video I did that was not based on stories or ranting. It was just a general feeling about Manchester United Football Club that I think will endure for many years and relate to many previous years as well. That's how I feel about the football club. So if you've not watched that video, please do check it out. Savage says brilliant video and how's the dog? Check it out. It's completely separate to anything I'm going to talk about, but it's just my general feeling without ranting, raving or bringing any news stories in. But look, where we are this morning is we've got a lot to go through. And I read stuff like this. You know, Nathan Salt, Daily Mail, says people are scoffing at Binion, but he's put in the hard yards behind the scenes and he's a familiar face for Fletcher. One academy player told me earlier that his training is more detailed and prepared than when they stepped into Amrim's training too. I mean, I tell you what, I wish I could write the book about what we will get over the next few days as Ineos, the Glazers, Wilcox and Berada. They never, you notice these people won't give you the time of day any other time. But as soon as they're under pressure, they'll be picking up the phones. They'll be sending messages to journalists and everyone. Put this out, put that out, put that. Why haven't you put this out? Why haven't you put that out? This is just classic deflection tactics. And to say that somebody has told a journalist that the, you know, backup shitty coach we've got training the players is better than the manager that we've just paid £20 million to is just classic Glazonomics. It's classic. You know, these journalists should be ashamed of themselves for actually typing it because we've seen it all before. And, you know, as I said, the mood in the training yesterday was excellent. No, it bloody wasn't. Three or four players were jumping around like they're on a bloody trampoline because they might get a chance under Fletcher. The rest of them are sort of confused, going, quite liked playing a back three. Like, people like Harry Maguire and Luke Shaw liked playing a back three. It's better for their career, you know? So, you know, Mason Mount was getting a lot of game time under Ruben Amorim. There's players that actually liked Amorim and were doing well and they were not feeling excellent yesterday. So it's nauseating how effective this spin blame shifting is to the gullible masses. Because, the shit show should be firmly pointing at the club for what they've done, the lies they've told us, the scam they've basically played out in front of us. And actually, the manager's been sacked. The manager's been sacked. So why are we talking about the manager? We can't bring him back. Why are we talking about what was going on? Because Wilcox himself said to the players yesterday, according to Laurie Whitwell, Amorim wanted to go and it really surprised us. So we backed him all the way. I mean, you've not backed him all the way either. I mean, how? I've never read such bollocks in all my life. How can the mood be excellent? And how can Wilcox say to those players, we're really surprised he wanted to go because we backed him all the way? But you clearly haven't backed him, mate. I mean, everything that comes out of Wilcox's mouth and Berada's mouth and Sir Jim's mouth is bullshit. It's actual bullshit. You haven't backed him. Literally last week, you didn't get Semenyu. How can you stand there in front of players and go, we've backed him fully? I mean, you literally went for Semenyu last week and you didn't get him. He's going to Man City. So even on Semenyu, you've not backed him. And what about Baleba in the summer? Didn't get him either. What about Conor Gallagher? You didn't get him either. What about Ollie Watkins? You didn't get him. What about Jokeres? You didn't get him. What about Dalap, Ekitike, Osman? You didn't get him. You didn't get Emi Martinez. You know, you didn't get any of the players that he wanted, basically. And you stand there lying about you've done your job properly. And I tell you what David Ornstein said. Look, I'm going to list off everything David Ornstein said just now, right? In his article. Tensions between Amorim and Wilcox came to a head in a heated meeting on Friday over tactics and transfers. Well, 1-0 to Amorim then, because I agree with Amorim that the lack of transfers in January is a joke. And why are they talking to him about tactics when they recruited him on a 3-4-3? Minority owner Sir Jim Radcliffe wanted Amorim to go to a back four as well. The Glazer family, the club's majority shareholders, had expressed disquiet at United's result as long ago as August. I mean, who gives a shit about the Glazers? And it's not all about results anyway. David Gill, United's former chief executive, questioned the wisdom of Amorim's bomb squad in a football board meeting. What? I mean, David Gill needs to keep his bloody mouth out as well. He fucked off for a different job over 10 years ago, mate. You were very good at your job, but keep your bloody nose out now. You're either in or you're out. What are you talking about? What was the problem with the bomb squad? There was friction between Amorim and Vival, United's director of recruitment, over transfer policy. And Ole Gunnar Solskjaer is under consideration to return as the club's caretaker manager until the summer, with Johnny Evans also in contention to return to the coaching staff. I tell you what, why don't we get Jemba Jemba back as well? What about Laurent Blanc? It's just unbelievable. And can I just say, I respect David Ornstein, and I would imagine some of that is true. But I want to say this as well. The more I read from credible journalists and not client... David Ornstein's not a client journalist. Laurie Whitwell, Nathan Soul, Luckhurst, all that lot, they follow the club around the world. They're client journalists. They get given stuff, they put it out there. They never write hit pieces. They never delve into the club. They'll never tell you stuff like the players weren't happy. They'll never tell you stuff like the players have been consulted about a manager. They're client journalists, right? But David Ornstein is a journalist. He's not attached to Man United. He's not attached to Arsenal. So I read David Ornstein and I'm not saying I totally believe it all, but, you know, I believe it more than that bollocks. The Favel versus Amorim thing is really important if you are part of the United Stan community. Make sure you subscribe if you haven't. Get involved, right? We've been speaking about this for about 8 months. The Favel thing is really interesting. I was willing to give Favel a chance, and I've not really mentioned Favel because... And I'll explain why. It's basically been Wilcox and Berarda for me for the last few days. But Favel does need to be brought into it now because he doesn't suit United. He doesn't suit United. I like Favel because I like his global youth scouting network, you know, and it does work at certain football clubs, but it won't work here. So if him and Amorim have had a falling out, and Sesko's the main issue, I actually have to not be a hypocrite and say that I do side with Amorim on this one, because as we've been discussing, I don't agree with United's policy. And Dylan says Favel is good, but I'm not saying he's not good, mate, but I don't think he suits this football club. So let me just speak, because we have spoken about it before. Favel is very good at finding players for like Red Bull Group, which is where he was. He lasted about 6 months at Chelsea and they got rid of him. I think he was at another club and they got rid of him as well. But look, he's got a past of causing issues, right, Favel? He definitely has. But I liked him because he is very good at identifying young talent. The problem is we're not the right club for that. And Amorim is correct. Manchester United in the summer decided to go for Sesko. They decided to go for Dorgu. They went for kids that need nurturing. Even Le Mans is the same as that. We keep going for kids to nurture. It's a football club that can't nurture. I mean, we've literally just sacked a guy a year into a project. No footballing project can be done in a year. Thomas Frank literally did an interview this morning saying, if you look at Liverpool, Arsenal, Man City, they are football clubs with the right structure around the manager to build projects. Nobody wants to build a project anymore. And we've just been victim of that with Manchester United. But Favel wants to bring in people like Sesko and Dorgu, but it doesn't suit what Man United need now. So him and Amorim falling out around the policy is absolutely correct. Now, you can pick your side. You can say, well, I agree with Favel. We should keep buying young players. But I agree with Amorim. I think he needed Ollie Watkins. I think he needed Emi Martinez. I think he needed Mendes or an experienced left back. I think for the now, you need experience. And then in the future, you can bring young players in, but you've got to build a team first. What Favel wants to do is bring young players in, and then he sat there going, I can't understand why Sesko's not working. All the boxers said that he'd be a good player. But then you look at Sesko, and you can see it in his eyes. He's got that panic in his eyes, hasn't he? So look, I agree with Amorim on that. I think the policy that United have is to follow Chelsea, and it's wrong. It's not even working at Chelsea. But we're obsessed with Chelsea. Favel is from Chelsea. It's not going to work. So I completely agree with Amorim on that one. The second thing I would say is Sir Jim Radcliffe and Jason Wilcox asking Ruben Amorim to go to a back four is incredible. It's incredible. You know, Gary Neville can sit there and say, I think United should play a back four. But I also saw a clip of him yesterday saying that Ten Hag should go to a back five. So... You know, these are pundits. They're the same as me and you. Their opinions might change 3-4 months, right? But as an owner of a football club, you can't be listening to, you know, pundits about back fours who aren't involved in the club's project. and you brought in a manager that plays 3-4-3, and basically what we're getting is that Wilcox and Sir Jim wanted Amrim to go to a back four. And when you break that down, the reason Amrim is not in a job anymore is because he said, no, buy me players for my system, because that's what we're here to do. And they've said, no, we're not buying your players. We want you to play a back four. And he's said, no, I'm not doing that. And then he's been sacked. So the question has to be, why did we recruit a guy that plays 3-4-3, tell him we were going to build a 3-4-3, and then a year down the road say, we can't afford to do it, please play a back four. And he said, no. And that's incredible. That is incredible that we have an ownership that has basically said to a guy, you know, we brought you in to do this. We're not going to do it now. And that is incredible. And it goes back to what I said in the garden this morning. There is no trust. You can't trust these people. They're down at Carrington, deflecting the blame, telling the players, we backed him, we did everything we could. Who do you think we should go for next? And that's mad. That's absolutely mad. So, you know, we've got a Darren Fletcher press conference at 5 o'clock. For me, he's a Glazer. Fletcher's a Glazer. He's been there for years. So he's a Glazer yes man, and until proven otherwise. Ollie's desperate to come back. I don't know whether the club wants him back. I don't know what the players have said about Solskjaer, but bringing Solskjaer back is like, it's like a nightmare. It's like a bloody nightmare. I like Ollie, but if they bring Ollie back, people will literally sing Ollie's at the wheel again. I don't know whether I can explain to you how much that song has scarred me. Ollie's at the wheel again, and it will be, instead of Rashford and Fred, it will be, fuck knows, what rhymes with Fred that will work? Rashford will be Mainoo. It'll be Mainoo. I can't think of players. We've got Mainoo, Fernandez, and who's got I can't think of a player with a one-syllable surname or first name. We've got Mainoo, Fernandez, and yeah. No. Cobby Mainoo would be Manc born and bred, wouldn't he? God. I can't go back. Yeah, we've got Mbeumo, Fernandez, and Shaw. Cobby Mainoo's. I don't know. I don't even want to go there. I've got nothing against Ollie. But we can't go back. We can't go back. We can't go back to that. You know, we simply can't go back to that. Habib says, have you seen the Sun's front page this morning? Disgraceful. No, I haven't. But, you know, you've just described an outlet that's disgraceful. John United says, incredible. Whatever story the club leaks, I don't see how it benefits them. If anything, 95% of fans think the club looks more incompetent than ever, says John. Well, look, I don't watch other content creators. I don't read a hell of a lot. And I certainly don't watch a hell of a lot or listen to a lot of the mainstream. But I would say shame on all of them. I mean, I have had some feedback from people. I would say shame on all of them. Because apparently a lot of them will not call out Ineos, will not call out Sir Jim, will not call out Wilcox, which I find incredible, because I think you'd have to be an absolute moron not to realise that they sacked him because he called them out for being shit. And the fact is, they are shit. And just on transfers, by the way, David Ornstein's update on transfers, I will give it you, because I don't want to miss this. There's quite a few like headline stories I want to bring in, but I think this is really important. Just to keep it on track, because Amrim is not here anymore. So, you know, as much as there will be this continued bullshit spinning to try and make themselves look competent, which is impossible, this update from Ornstein is basically that there will be no change in Manchester United's approach to the... here it is. Ruben Amrim's sacking will not change Man United's January transfer plans. The club is sticking to its long-term strategy and will wait until the summer for any senior activity. They are in the market for a left winger, but after missing out on their target, Semenyo, to City, they've decided to keep their powder dry rather than rush into a panic alternative. So that's from David Ornstein, that there is no transfer activity planned for January. And I said this to you yesterday. I said, first and foremost, I'm disgusted with the football club on how they've handled another manager. And I know that's going to take the headlines. But whatever happens, Amrim in, Amrim out, Amrim sacked, Fletcher in, Ollie in, whatever, we absolutely have to do something in the January window. That, to me, has to stay really high in the mindset of Man United fans. We cannot be allowed to be spun by manager talk or beating Burnley, beating Brighton. It doesn't matter who the manager is or who the interim is. Like, nobody with a brain would come out of January without at least one or two signings. And apparently we're not going to do that. So, you know what? If you want to blame Amrim and you want to protect Wilcox or you want to protect Sir Jim and the Glazers, it doesn't matter because you're protecting idiots. Because forget the manager stuff. We absolutely needed to bring players in January and we're still not going to do it. And there are clubs out there that are seriously making moves all the time. And this football club, regardless of Project Amrim or the next manager, this is a missed opportunity. And I would say this as well. With Amrim gone, it makes it even more important that you use the January window. Because the next manager, you know what bullshit they're going to feed now? There's no point signing any players until we know who the next manager is because we don't want to buy players that the next manager doesn't want. What? The next manager is literally going to have no say in transfers. You're literally going to appoint a coach. The next guy won't even have a say on transfers. You hypocritical idiots. This is the perfect time to buy players because you're the transfer board and you will be anyway. And also, it's going to benefit the next coach hugely if you bring players in now that are adapted for the summer rather than being new with the new manager. So this actually is, it's even more important to bring players in January to prepare for next season and the summer and the new manager. Amrim did need players, but with Amrim gone, I think we need players even more. Because if they know what their strategy is and we're going to a back four, you're going to need two wingers, two midfielders, a striker, and that's just starting off. We need five players in the summer. You're never going to get five, so why don't you get one or two in January? Why don't you do what Man City did last January and start prepping for this season in January by bringing three or four players in? So we do not let that slip out of your mind that David Ornstein has put an article out this morning saying United plan to do nothing in the January transfer window still. And that's incredible because when you look at the team that Darren Fletcher will pick tomorrow, if Bruno's fit, he'll play. If Casemiro's fit, he'll play. Luke Shaw will play. I'm sure Dalot will play. There's four players there, but for one reason or another, you won't even have next year. So it's not just about, I need two midfielders, I need two wingers, I need a striker. But that's before Casemiro and Bruno have gone. That's before I boot out Luke Shaw. They need replacing as well. So the enormity of this job and an ownership that says we're waiting till the summer. I mean, God, I have to keep myself calm because, as I said on the video in the garden this morning, I'm just very, very sad deep down because ultimately I think the football club is finished. And I genuinely do mean that. I'm not being melodramatic. I explained it in my garden this morning and I'll do it now. I think the club's finished. I said to you numerous times over the last few years, I don't think we've hit rock bottom. And I'll say it to you now. I don't think we've hit rock bottom. I don't think we've hit rock bottom. I really don't. We'll be back here again very, very soon. And it could get worse. But if you've got an ownership that ignores January transfer windows, you've got a bad ownership. It's just, you can't, I know there's multiple strands for us to talk about this morning, but you cannot ignore the January transfer window. It is a transfer window and the team is on its arse. And I'm confused as to who's developing Sesko, who's developing Dorgu, who's developing Yoro, who's developing Heaven, who's actually developing these players, It's an absolute shit show. That Ornstein update is very significant. A few people talking about Solskjaer. Look, I don't know what the club are going to do next because I don't think they know what they're going to do next. They had absolutely, this time last week, in fact, what I was told is the players had no idea this was going to happen. No indication at all. It was a shock to them as much as it was to you yesterday morning. Manchester United Football Club themselves on Friday had no concept that they'd be sacking a manager on Monday. So they are now running around trying to figure out what to do. They've always had Darren Fletcher there, which is why we reported it a month ago. They always had Darren Fletcher there as the step-in interim. That's what, you know, he was always going to step in if they needed to sack at any point. But beyond that, they haven't got anything. Now, Johnny Evans coming back as a coach. Johnny Evans only retired as a player in the last year. He's got no coaching background at all. So you're basically chucking in an ex-player to coach. And we're meant to be doing best in class, by the way. I just think everything about Man United now is a lie. I think the title is Glynios scammed us, and they had. They sold us a project. They sold us a rebuild. And what we've basically got now is, the next project is, let's get some ex-players in. Which is exactly what happened after Jose. Jose was going to be a big project to take us back to the top. They sacked him and then he just brought in an ex-player with no experience. So, I mean, Ollie's got no experience. Ollie's only job is Man United. Johnny Evans has got no experience. Darren Fletcher's got no experience. None of these people have actually got any experience. They're just ex-players, feel-good factor. Best in class is not ex-Man United player. Best in class is Unai Emery, Antonio Conte. You know, best in class is not Jason Wilcox. You know, that's a learner driver. So what I don't even know what the plan is now. But I did get sent a very interesting piece, and I just want to bring this in because although it's steering off a little bit, there is...
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
Okay, this was from Jim, who lives in New York. He basically said, massive United fan, love United Stand, obsessed with it, love the way that there's zero filter broadcasts and we can all just have our say. Utterly brilliant. He said that, massive Man United fan, over 20 years. He says there's a tragic correlation between the Yankees, the baseball team in New York, and United. Both run on yesteryear's fumes to profit the current owners and jerk off the fans with promises based on memories of those days before we were shit. And I thought, you know what? You probably couldn't write a better sentence than that. The correlation between Manchester United and the New York Yankees is tragically similar, with both running on yesteryear's fumes to profit the current owners and jerk off modern fans with promises based on past memories. And I thought, you know what? You can't argue with that. You cannot argue with that. I mean, I literally have a kit next to me of when we were good, the blue one. And then we have this year's away kit, which is basically modelled on the Cantona kit when we were good. And that's what we do. I guarantee you in the next few weeks, we'll have another leak of the kit in the summer where people will be jerking off to it, going, oh, yeah, look at that. Reminds me of the early 90s. We're just nostalgia FC. And the reality is they're taking a big, massive dump on the club and the fans, and they still get away with it. Although what I will say is great to see the 58 putting a tweet out yesterday about protests, which is why we retweeted it. And I hope you all will as well. They're basically saying we were ready to protest in the summer and we got shot down. Remember, they were going to protest for the Arsenal game and a load of you lot said, don't do it. We're signing Belaba. Now's not the time. Support Sir Jim. Because they wanted to protest and bring Sir Jim into it with the Glazers. And the kickback was, we're buying Belaba. Leave Sir Jim out of it. So, ultimately, a lot of people have been saying, why aren't people protesting? Why aren't people protesting? Well, I'll tell you why they're not protesting. Because they tried to do a protest before the Arsenal game at the start of the season about Sir Jim Radcliffe and the Glazers. And they got a massive load of personal kickback from a load of you, not United Stand, I mean a load of fans, saying it's not Sir Jim, leave Sir Jim out of it, and we're buying Belaba. So they cancelled it. They listened to the fans and they cancelled it. They've put a tweet out yesterday saying, should we be back doing protests? We'll listen to you. So if you want to know why protests haven't been happening, it's because they were going to do a protest and the fans gave them a load of abuse for doing it. So a lot of people have been going, where are the protests? Where are the protests? Maybe you want to go online and find all the people in the summer that were telling the 58 not to do protests and not to get Sir Jim Ratcliffe involved in it. Because I tell you what, shame on you. Naive. Oh, it's not Sir Jim. It's not Sir Jim. It's the Glazers. We've lost 6 months there because people were gullible. And that was the fan base. That wasn't the 58. That was the fan base telling them not to do it. That's absolutely true. Absolutely true. So there we go. Mark, read Rob Dawson's latest comments on shoelaces story. Can somebody tell me what it is, Sourav? Because I've got so much to go through here and I've got a lot of comments to go through as well. Okay, I will try and find it for you, but there is a lot to get through this morning. We have got Darren Fletcher's press conference at 5 o'clock. I'm going to react to that. I've got to say, it's going to be quite nauseating because I do like Darren Fletcher, but all I see is one of the people that have stabbed Amrim in the back and an employee, a Glazer man. And that bothers me, if I'm being honest with you. Liam Rosinha is going to Chelsea. Well, we're going to follow that model. And I don't agree with that model. Another learner driver for them. Manchester United are currently leaning towards appointing an interim head coach to replace Amrim until the end of the season. Darren Fletcher currently in charge. I mean, can I just say about this interim idea? Look, what I would like to see is Manchester United bring the guy they want now, because the sooner we start the build, the better. Having said that, we're not going to buy anybody in January, so no manager will take the job, because they're just going to end up in the same situation as Amrim, trying to get results with a bag of shit. So no decent manager is going to take it till the summer. So that's because we won't do business in January. So we are stuck in a situation. A manager would take the United job now. I tell you what, a good manager would take the job now if we were saying we've got £200 million to spend in January. They'll take it. But they won't take it on the knowledge that we're not going to spend anything. Which means as fans, we're going to have an interim who, if he does well, people will be singing songs about buses and we'll give him the job. So I don't like the interim idea. I really don't. This is why I want Amrim. This is why when people said, you're clearly Amrim out. And I said, no, I'm Amrim doubt, but I don't want to sack a manager in season again. It's catastrophic every bloody time, because an interim, the season either dies on its arse or they do well and they get the job. Like, I want European football, and I'm guaranteeing you we would have got European football because we would have finished top six. I still think we will get top six with the interim, but that might be enough for them to get the job. Worst case scenario, the interim's a load of shit and we don't get European football. So I don't actually like this situation now. You've got an interim who's got an open goal to get Europe, and if he gets it, people will be singing to give him the job and we won't get a decent manager. Or they'll fuck it up and we won't get Europe at all and we won't get a decent manager. So this is why sacking a manager halfway through the season is something I just didn't want to do, because we won't get the good manager. I mean, I saw people saying sack Amrim in November and go and get Emery. And it's like, do you actually support this football club or do you just think you do? Because if you support the football club, you'd know we're not going to do that. We're going to go interim, and it's exactly what we've done, and I don't want an interim. It's confusing. And we cannot give the interim the job. We cannot make that mistake again. I'm trying to find this bit about shoelaces. Johnny Evans and Darren Fletcher till the end of the season, says The Sun. Southgate and Maresca are among the favourites to be the next permanent manager. Oh, my God. Oh, my fucking God. Okay. God, this is why I sat in the garden so sad. I'm going to go through your comments, but there was a couple of other bits I wanted to talk about. Oh yeah, Romano said about Solskjaer, he wants the job. He'd love to come back. United are going to start the internal process today to assess short-term options and then new permanent manager from June. Maynou liked the post. Yeah, we've spoken about that. David Ornstein says Christopher Favelle played a key role in Amrim's sacking.
Mate, you're on the list, I'm afraid.
To be honest, look, Wilcox and Berarda, I'm done. Sir Jim Radcliffe, I'm done. The Glazers have been done for a long time. I think I'm going to add Favallion as well, because I don't think you suitors, I don't think going out buying the next Caicedo at 17 works at all, mate. I just think you're the wrong man for the wrong job. We are not a club that develops talent, you know. I look at the treatment of Sesko against Leeds. I look at the treatment of Dorgo over the last year. I look at what people are saying about Yoro. This fan base is not ready to develop young players. It's angry. It's frustrated. You can't bring them into this environment. So Favall, to me, doesn't work. And again, it's another aspect of Sir Jim Radcliffe not listening. Somebody said to me yesterday, what would you do if you were in charge of Manchester United? And I don't know what job that is, CEO, owner, whatever. I know exactly what I would do. I would go out and buy as many players as I can between the age of 26 and 32 that are going to make me better today. Because I need to be better today. I need to be in the Champions League today. Because the funny thing is, if I can make this better, if I can make this team better today, I will be in the Champions League, which will bring more money in. And with more money, I can build for tomorrow. But you can't build for tomorrow when you're crap today. I need to be good today and then I can build for tomorrow. I need to survive today to be here tomorrow, basically. And you can't survive today. You know, if I need to eat, I need to go out and buy a Big Mac, right? I don't need to buy flower seeds to grow the bread and a cow to make the burger, right? And United seem to be doing it the wrong way, in my opinion. We need to survive today to thrive tomorrow. And what we're trying to do is die today, but in the future have some food. And it's wrong. It's the wrong. I don't mind. You know, Favall would be very good at Bayern Munich because they're already a good team. You bring young players in. You've got experienced players. You nurture. It works really well. Favall at Man City would work really, really well. Favall at Arsenal would work really, really well. But at Man United, we're trying to copy other clubs that were not then. You know? Right, let me go through some of your comments. Rafa says, Nicky Butt said he will return his season ticket if Maresca is manager. I won't buy another shirt or ticket till the Glazers are out. Mark, I feel your sadness, says Rafa. I am sad. I'm very sad because I don't see a way back. I don't. I think this was the last straw. I just feel we've been lied to so much. And also, I think the depressing thing today is the amount of people that you see in 4K who are chancers. You know, I could write a big list of people and go, you're a chancer, you're a chancer, you're not a United fan, you're a chancer, you're not a United fan, you're a chancer. They have the lack of people speaking the way we're speaking is incredible. The amount of people who are, you know, regurgitating their lies is incredible. And more importantly, the spin I can put up with, I expected it, but it's the scrutiny of what's been said over the last year and the reluctance to bring it into the future. Like, why are people not taking what was said 3 months ago and absolutely tearing Sir Jim Radcliffe apart? Why are people not looking at Wilcox and Berarda and going, they're learner fucking drivers. They've got no best-in-class CV about them at all. They are literally worse than Amrim when it comes to experience to do this job. And it's all been forgotten. You know, it's all been forgotten and swept away because they're just as bad. They're facilitators in this poison that is ruining this football club. As I said, the only thing that's going to save us is new ownership, but I don't know whether we're ever going to get that. Do you think Bruno will play number 10? Says 1-2-3. I hope so. Do you think Rude will come back? Mark says angling for more. No. At this point, our only hope is the Glazers being on the Epstein list, says I Got One TV. And Whoopsie says, viewer from the Philippines here, I know the mood around the club is abysmal, but your clips crashing out on Onana pushed me to dive deeper into football. Go United and get out the Glazers, says Whoopsie. Thank you, pal. Need a strong foundation to build anything, says Aditio. Mark, if you were in charge right now, what would you do? Who would you appoint? Eddie Howe, an option, says Kyle. You're asking a defeated man to try and do something. I mean, I wouldn't want to go anywhere near the club, to be honest, with those in charge. I'd be, you know, I'd resign in a day. I can't work with incompetent people, so I wouldn't be able to work there. But if I was in charge, who would I bring in as manager? Conte. I think Conte is the one I would go for. And I'd back him properly.
Yeah. Conte, Emery, those two, I think would be the two I would look at. Yeah. Both got Premier League experience, both at the top of their game, both managed in multiple countries, both really good at getting players to play for them. I'd go with one of those two. But the fact is, United aren't even considering. I mean, you know what? If you're looking, if you are actually an optimistic person, I've just given you two names there. We're not even considering them. They're not on the list. They don't want that type of competent manager. They want somebody that they can mould as well. What's your thoughts on Xavi, says Cam. I mean, I must admit, Xavi, I'd obviously take Xavi over Maresca or Southgate. Obviously, Fletcher, Solskjaer goes without saying. I'm not completely made up on Xavi. You know, managing Barcelona to coming to the Premier League, I'm not completely about it. So the story they put out yesterday, that Amrim said no to Gallagher, but then they don't want to get players in January. They can't keep up with these their own lies, says Ryan. A coach this awful doesn't deserve excuses, says Sully. Mark, we need Southgate, attacking football and good tactics, says JC. Apologies for the trolls, I'll just move through them. Sesko will work with someone like Xerxes up front with him. Yeah, we can't play two up front, class of 99. At this point, my question is whether or not Bruno makes it through the window. After all, apparently it was Amrim who convinced him to stay while the board and owners wanted his transfer. Z3... Bruno won't leave in the January transfer window. I think he will, you know, it's a very short period of time from January to May. You know, you play February, there's an international break in March, and then you're basically done. So for Bruno, it's a World Cup year. He'll want to be playing in a league that's as quick and as fitness, as possible. So Bruno won't go till the summer. Do you think anyone from the board will be at the press conference? No. Dirty deeds? Nope. They'll send Fletcher. Next manager is going to be someone like the new Chelsea manager, says Kevin. Did Beth receive a call from Glynios yesterday, says Jay. We got Mainu, Mbeumo and Shaw, Mount Sesko and fucking Delo, says Slazy. We aren't bringing in transfers to prepare for the summer because they don't know what they want or what they're going to do, says Emily Derry. I don't think I can ever be fully on board until Wilcox is out. Please keep reminding everyone of Wilcox. I mean, look, Imrano, everybody is free to make their own choice. And I must admit, I always feel a little bit bad when you are, you know, constantly talking about one person. But Wilcox, to me, as somebody who's a little bit older, has got no affiliation to Manchester United. When I think about Wilcox as a player, he played for two of our big rivals, Leeds and Blackburn. He then went to Man City, another rival. I mean, I don't have any affiliation or warmth towards him anyway. So if he came into the job, he had to be fucking brilliant because he already comes with a load of baggage. He's also been a shithouse at Man United. So for me, I ain't got no time for the guy. I think he's a snake. And I've got no interest in him at all. And if he got sacked tomorrow, I'd be very pleased. But that's probably thinks the same of me, so I don't really care. Sir Rekha gifted a membership. Thank you very much. Do you think this... and also, if we're being honest, every time the camera cuts to Berarda and Wilcox in the stand, I just see a couple of garden gnomes. They've got no charisma. They've got nothing to... You know, as I said before, I'd rather Man United went and employed Simon Jordan and Gary Neville and Adam stood next to each other. At least I'd be like, oh, I wonder if they get on. I wonder if they argue, you know. Manchester United should be best in class. Man United should be entertainment. Like a couple of garden gnomes. Gormless, boring and out of the depth. Do you think this BTEC Chelsea wannabe owner would have sacked Amrim so early if Chelsea hadn't done the same to Maresca, says I am. We are obsessed with Chelsea. That we told you that back in April from a very good source that, you know, Sir Jim is obsessed with Chelsea. I don't know why we're obsessed with Chelsea. I wish we were obsessed with Man City or Liverpool, by the way, but I don't know why we're obsessed with Chelsea. Ollie's at the wheel. We've got Sesko, Mbeumo, Ahmad, Kobbie Mainoo at Manchester lad, says Ben. My spirit is dead because of Glynios, says Kevin. Mark, you missed my chat. I haven't, Tana. I'm just going through them. Would you take Eddie Howe, says Kyle. I like Eddie Howe, but he has got a face of defeat. And I think United would defeat him. When I look at managers now, I look at Ollie when he came in and at the end. I look at Mourinho when he came in and at the end. I look at Ten Hag and at the end. And I look at Amrim and at the end. And I just look at managers and I go, I can see what you're going to look like after a year. Fletcher next week. I'm hipster. Bruno, go play left centre-back, says Mazraoui. Patrick Lynch says, I thought Wilcox and co were best in class. Why would experts come in and ask employees who should be in charge? They are getting the players to do their jobs, says Patrick Lynch. Mate, they're best in class, right? They're best in class. They all, what people forget is that it was Wilcox, Berada, Sir Jim, who sat on a board and interviewed Amrim and said, this is the guy we want. And then a year later, they're telling that guy to go to a back four. If you're best in class, look, it's been said many times, many ways. The people, if a manager fails at a football club, you have to scrutinise why he came into the club in the first place. Erik ten Hag, when Ineos came in, could have been sacked. They were new owners. They could have got him sacked. They kept him and they gave him £300 million. Unforgivable, really. They sack him 3 months later. They then go for Ruben Amorim, who they give another £250 million to. And after a year, they sack him. It's very important to remember that Ten Hag and Amorim have been thrown off a cliff and blamed for the last 2 years. But the evidence suggests we've been lied to, manipulated, and we're in a worse position now than we were when Ineos came in. Why has nobody else been sacked, basically? Why? If I was Sir Jim Radcliffe, he is just another Glazer. I mean, the Glazers did this with Woodward and Arnold for years, and I never understood how they didn't figure out that the CEO was causing the problems, and they kept letting him make problems. Sir Jim Radcliffe is just the same. Because if he had a brain, he'd go, hold on a minute. Omar Berada's been involved in all of this. And Wilcox has been involved in all of this. And I'm backing them over the manager. Maybe the problem's them, you know? Incredible, whatever story the club leaks, I don't see how it benefits them, says John. I've read that one, haven't I? I think Ollie could be confirmed by Burnley. It's a win-win for Ineos. Bruno and the leadership will be on board as well, says Dave. Emily Derry says, Favela is the kind of person you bring in when you're the United of 2001 or 2008. Successful with established pros and looking to build a legacy from the academy. Exactly. Exactly, Emily. Couldn't put it any better. Deishu says, I feel defeated. Glazers and Ineos win again. I can't get excited for a new manager. I'll never stop supporting this club, but I'm ashamed of what it is. And I think that sentence encapsulates how I feel, and I think a lot of people feel this morning. I'm never going to stop supporting the club, but I'm ashamed of what it is. Do you think Eddie Howe would take the job, says Kyle? I think Eddie Howe would be very difficult to get out of Newcastle. Ray says, if I see Ollie at the wheel again, I am done, as already close being done with the club this season. The more news that comes out, the worse Ineos looks, says Sound Dog. The club should be worried, like him or not. Bruno is a very powerful player, and if he's not happy, they need to listen, says Mr. Saunders. The players with their power should now be the ones to voice the fake lies that come out from above. The players are clearly favoured over managers, says MJ. Any good player leaving the summer will be because how they question management. Which players would that be, says Stretford Signal. And Marlowe says, according to reports, Favel was the one that pushed for Amorim to get sacked. Why does our head recruiter have any say in that type of decision? Well, especially when Favel was only given a permanent job in the summer. You know, he was on trial himself. Morning, Mark. That was from Marlowe. What's your thoughts on some ex-players saying give Roy Keane a chance? Says Mojo. I think you're talking about Scholes and Butts, aren't you? Look, I saw that clip. Look. I'd be far more comfortable. If you want to bring ex-players in, I would rather it be people like Nicky Butt, Paul Scholes, Roy Keane, than Darren Fletcher, Ole Gunnar Solskjaer, Johnny Evans. You know, I certainly don't want Rio Ferdinand anywhere near the club. So if we're going for ex-players, then there are certain ex-players I would go with. However, I just think this is the chaos that Ineos have created now because nobody knows what's happening next and nobody knows what needs to happen next. I remember saying this to you a couple of years ago. We've tried everything now. We've tried every manager. We've tried the hipster coaches who could be good in the future, like Ten Hag and Amorim. We've tried the established coaches like Mourinho and Van Gaal. We've tried the ex-player in Ollie. We've tried the Premier League proven manager in Moyes. We've tried absolutely everything. So And what are they, you know, answers on a postcard. What are they going to go for next? Are they going to go back to an established manager? No. Are they going to go for an ex-player? Don't know. Are they going to go for a hipster manager from Europe? No. Are they going to go for a young coach that they can manipulate? Yeah, I think that's where we're going to go. I think we're going to follow Chelsea. You know, when someone close dies, immediate shock and depression over coming weeks and months, if not years. First time ever it felt like that with Amrim, says Tanai. And Patrick Lynch says, I feel like I'm in a fever dream or a bad nightmare. Not only are we on this mad cycle, we are literally repeating what went wrong before step for step. You know what, Patrick, you're so right. You know, you almost sit here in despair going, how can our football club that we love so much be run so bad? And then you sat there going, it ain't ever going to get any better, is it? Like, there's nobody with a clue at that football club. And actually, there isn't. You know, there isn't. I mean, Darren Fletcher is the only one there that's got any clue about Man United, but basically he's been there for years. He's just a Glazer guy, isn't he? So Ineos are clueless. The Glazers are the Glazers. Wilcox is, you know, I can think of a word that I could, you know, they used to call Murta Madness, Wanker Wilcox, you know, that's what a lot of people are saying. Any comments on Beth's Sky interview, says EHM? Mate, I have not watched it. I've had so many requests from the Financial Times to all sorts to do interviews over the last 48 hours, but you're my priority. So I haven't watched it. I haven't got time. But I think it's great if Beth's done it. I will watch it later, but I'm not going to make any comment on something I haven't seen. Maybe you want to tell me what she said or something, but I'm way too busy at the moment to be doing those sort of things or watching them either. Amrim was sacked because he called out the board and Wilcox had no clue it was coming. So the spin released yesterday, there were confrontations between him and Amrim, was a load of bollocks. Oh, 100%, Emily, yeah. Basically, we need a manager that doesn't say a word about the board, does well with limited resources, adapts, a silent killer, but do they exist, says Ivan. No, no. Do you remember the last game you actually enjoyed watching? Maybe the FA Cup final against Man City, says Nicholas. I enjoyed Leon. I enjoyed Liverpool at Anfield. You know, I mean, look, you've just made me want to sort of finish on this, actually. There's a lot of talk, right, about win ratios. And I've constantly mentioned win ratios this season. There is a lot of talk about win ratios, but I've always been very consistent that his win ratio from last season is irrelevant because he had no preseason and no transfers and was given the job when he didn't want to take it. So whatever happened between November and the end of last season, to me, you had to park that. It was all about this season. So he played 20 Premier League games and we won 8 of those games, which means that his win ratio was 40%, right? That win ratio is the same as Chelsea. It's better than Sunderland's. It's the same as Newcastle's. It's better than Brighton's. And it's not quite the same as Liverpool's, which is 50%, but we're 3 points off fourth. So all the talk about win ratios and performance and everything, whilst relevant, contextually, the Premier League doesn't lie. And I remember saying this 2 weeks ago. The story the Premier League is telling you doesn't marry up with the performances, but the most important thing is the Premier League. Because as bad as we've been, we're clearly not worse than Brentford, Sunderland, Newcastle, Brighton, Fulham, Everton, Tottenham, Crystal Palace, because we're above them. And we're clearly not worse than Chelsea because we're on the same points. And we're clearly not far off Liverpool because they're only 3 points ahead and they've still got to come to Old Trafford. So this whole story about sacking him on results, well, there's two problems with that. One, when you look at the Premier League, you wouldn't sack a manager based on where we are in the league. You just wouldn't. You might have it in your back pocket that you're not happy with results, but you wouldn't do it because the league table doesn't lie. And two, he didn't get sacked because of the results. He got sacked because he said the owners are shit. So this whole story that they're still trying to regurgitate around win ratios and performance, whilst a factor, they weren't the factor in why he was sacked, and he wouldn't have been sacked for it because you can't sack a manager who's 3 points off the Champions League when at the start of the season, everybody would have built a bloody statue with Champions League football. We're back to jobs for the boys and player power, says Chris. Mark my words, Solskjaer will be back with Fletcher as assistant. Back to square one, says Marlowe. Everyone upset because the club is briefing against Amrin, but when the club do the players, due to the players like Sancho and Rashford, silence and you recycle the lies, says D. D, I don't know who you are. I think you might be Jason Wilcox in disguise. And what are you talking about, Sancho and Rashford? Did Rashford not sit there a year ago and do an interview at a school behind the club's back? I don't know what you're talking about. You're the problem, D, because you're trying to distract people from what we're talking about. We're talking about our shit owners. We're not talking about Rashford and Sancho. What do you think about Ollie maybe going back, Mark, says Alice. I mean, I've got to say, I've always liked Solskjaer. I've got to say, I've emotionally switched off and I have no hope. So do your worst. Do your worst, Ineos. Bring Southgate in. You know what? I actually was driving this morning and I didn't put the radio on. I mean, this is depression. This is football. It's not proper depression. This is footballing depression, and football is a large part of my life. Normally, I'm in the car and I put the radio on. I got in the car, I didn't put the radio on, and I was just thinking. And I actually, a smile started to show on my face as I actually sadistically was thinking, please give the job to Southgate. I want the club to burn. I mean, I'm just being honest. I was like, this. I'm driving along and this smile came on my face. And I was like, give the job to Southgate. I want to be Southgate out from day one. I want to be Mr. Negative for the next 18 months. I want to be absolutely proven right. And I'm just like, fuck it. Just please keep fucking this club up so I and everyone else can be proven right that there is no way back. I'd let them do their worst. I do care, but I've got absolutely no optimism at all. I'm absolutely certain we're going to be back in this situation again and again and again and again and again. And I would actually say quite openly, if you are Unai Emery or Antonio Conte or Nagelsmann or Tuchel or Pochettino, do yourself a favour. Don't come anywhere near this job. And if you do take the job and fail, I'll sit there and say, told you so. Nobody with a clue should come anywhere near this football club. If you're going to take this job, come along with your strings. You're going to be a puppet. So I don't just give it to Ollie, give it to Southgate. I don't bloody care. The only thing that's going to get me optimistic is new ownership. And the only way that's going to happen is if we continue to fail and people stop buying things and protests return and it just turns into a shit show week in, week out. And maybe then we will get some sort of change, because the only hope is that things get worse. And you know, I don't think things are going to get worse. I can see us qualifying for Europe. It'll be 18 months before things go wrong again, I think. But it will go wrong. Yeah. Dimitri says, do you think we're almost at the point of no return? Well, we are at the point of no return, because we will never win a Premier League again. We will get into Europe again. We will win a domestic trophy again. But we've already done that. We've been in Europe with Ten Hag. We've been in Europe with Ollie. We've been in Europe with Mourinho. We've won the FA Cup and the Carabao Cup. We will go and do those things again. But we're meant to win Premier Leagues. We'll never do that again. Not like this. We'll never do it again. Losing hurts, but losing identity and joy hurts more. That's where United are right now, says Grimlock. And also, can I just say something? Ruben Amram's walking away with £15 million and he has been treated badly. But can I just get a shout out here for the hundreds of people that Ineos and the Glazers sacked who didn't get £1 million send off, who, you know, got made redundant, who were probably on 40 grand a year, who had to go and find other jobs and feed their families. Let's not forget that amongst all our unhappiness about manager sackings and not buying midfielders and not playing good football, these people also sacked half our workforce, ordinary working people, made them redundant. You know, they have behaved horrifically as well to other people for no result. All the sackings they did of people. Oh, to make the club better. You know, that shouldn't be forgotten. This is why the journalists and the mainstream piss me off. Because they will not go back and talk about the catalogue of mistakes that have led to today. We've sacked half our workforce. We've removed hundreds of good people and put them, made them unemployed on the whim of Ineos and the Glazers because it's going to make us better. And here we are, unable to spend money, unable to back managers. So what was that all about? You know, I love Manchester United. I hate what the football club's become. Yeah. Max says, I used to play Sunday League with Wilcox's son and Wilcox was our coach. At the time, he was Man City's under 21 coach. Always found it a bit strange how he's ended up at United in the position he is, says Mac. Wasn't Amrin manager of the month in November or October? Yes, he was. We need to park it now. We should focus on beating Burnley tomorrow. We should focus on beating Burnley, says James. Carragher told Casemiro the football had left him years ago. Imagine he knew then that he would still be starting years later, says Judah. And only way to fix this is to do a Celtic. Everyone chants, sack the board, sack the board. Glasgow is blue and white, says Perth. I'd rather watch Cream Pie Cathy than follow Wilcox, says David. Don't know who that is. And Camel says, I want to cry. Why does nobody speak about our owners? Yeah, it does frustrate you. Anyway, look, snow video was good. Says, look, if you haven't watched the video of me in my garden this morning and you've enjoyed this video, you definitely need to click the link in the live chat or go through the homepage at some point today. One, you'll get to see my dog. Two, that's a very different video about why I think there's no way back for Man United. So do check it out if you haven't seen it already. Thanks everyone for watching. I'm popping over onto Terry's channel, I think, in a minute to do hot takes. Yeah, check it out later, Gav. You don't need to go and watch it now, but it's there for you. And I will speak to you all in a bit. Take care. I've still got a very busy day. I'm doing the preview for Burnley at 8. We're doing Fletcher's press conference at 5. And Beth is with you, I think, or Maud's is with you at 2. So busy, busy. Make sure you're subscribing to the channel. Keep your notifications on. I've got to say, I think this is the only place, and I'm shouting you out more than me or Beth or Maud's or anyone else. I've got to say, from everything I've seen, this is the only place that is saying it how it is. And you know, I'm proud of that, but I'm also sad about that. There is no other, no, everybody else is glazing over it. Everyone else is going, oh, what's next? Everyone else is going, let's not talk about that. This is the only place that is keeping it real and talking about the real issues about Man United. So keep it up. Well done. Thanks, everyone. Take care. Why is that not directing to there? Hold on a minute. It's there, that's right. There it is.